How about that? How about those San Francisco 49ers beating an 8-5 Tennessee Titans team? And you had to be split there, Kyle, because, of course, you do fine work for TitansWire.com.
Thank you.
And you were there credentialed and sort of credentialed while you held on to your credential.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Yep.
And then you saw this, you know, hey, listen, Las Vegas has shiny casinos for a reason. They had the 49ers favored for most, if not all, the week.
Yep.
Jimmy Garoppolo has yet to lose as a starting quarterback. We feel like that streak will end this weekend versus the Jaguars.
And if it doesn't, if he torches the Jags for 300 yards and 9 yards per attempt, give him however much of a long-term deal he wants.
I feel like if that happens, Joe Montana will name his next kid Jimmy.
Yeah. I think...
Or Garoppolo, but that'd be weird.
This isn't on the rundown.
Uh-huh.
And I probably should have asked you this last
probably
night.
Should have.
So, yeah, probably should have.
That's all right.
I'm gonna fire it off anyways.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's a hot take.
Okay.
The Patriots traded the wrong quarterback. No, and I know that sounds insane, but let's look at this year versus the next decade.
Okay. Can we amend that to the Patriots just shouldn't have traded him?
I mean, I guess they were gonna have that he was gonna be a free agent. They were gonna have to pay him.
Pay him
starter money for a backup quarterback.
Starter money for a backup quarterback.
So,
but
that's not that. Okay, fine. I agree with that.
Okay.
I'll concede that. But if you're trading a quarterback this year, if they had to trade one of their quarterbacks,
you had to trade one of the two based on the future.
They traded the wrong one.
I mean, I don't want to get too crazy here. Jimmy Garoppolo is 5-0 as an NFL starter. He's won three
and
in a row
not,
with the Niners.
My issue is not, I'm not even saying he's going to have half the career Tom Brady's had, because Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time.
But he'll probably be better than Tom Brady in 5 years.
Yes.
Because Tom Brady
That's
will probably be
saying.
on a beach.
Yes.
I think in the NFL, you got to look at, you know.
I think the Patriots made I don't want to say colossal mistake, but I think they might have made a mistake.
They might have made a mistake trading the guy. I'm with you there.
And getting only a second rounder for him. Like, this could turn into, if Garoppolo keeps playing like he's playing, and it's three games, he might come back with a full season under his belt and some tape on him and be a mediocre quarterback.
Like masking tape.
Right.
Duct tape.
Right.
Scotch tape.
I fully consider. But if he continues on this track that he's on, is this not one of the great NFL fleecings ever?
Sure.
For a second round pick?
This is Herschel Walker, the Cowboys and Vikings.
Yeah.
This is Kobe Bryant.
On its
to the Lakers for Vlade Divac.
On track to be. It's on track
to be. Of course.
Because Jimmy Garoppolo might actually stink.
Yes.
There's still that possibility.
We may laugh someday and go, "Hey, remember?" Yeah.
"Hey, remember when we thought that was the greatest terrible take of all time?"
Yeah.
No, I'm with it. I get that. But, man, he looks good. And he's also playing well.
But when you come in, I got you. When you come in and you win three in a row as a starter, and let's not forget, by the way, not only has he won three in a row as a starter, but he also was 2-for-2 with a touchdown coming and mopping up against the Seahawks. When you come into a team that is, what were they, 1-9? 1-9,
yeah,
and you win three in a row. And I get that Houston and Chicago are not good teams, but those are two games on the road. Two games on the road against a Bears team that beat the Steelers earlier in the year. If you want to do some fun math, and it's not like he's not throwing the ball either. 31-43 for 381. And a touchdown. I think that, for example, from the text line, people are saying Garoppolo is Jesus. Wait until defenses prep for him. I fully acknowledge that.
I just did. Literally
and,
just
and
now.
You said that about 5 seconds before. I fully acknowledge that. But here's where I would even out that argument. What happens when he gets an offensive line? What happens What happens when he gets a receiving core that isn't Marquise Goodwin and pray for rain? What would happen if Pierre Garçon was healthy? I think, yes, there are some things you can bring up about Jimmy Garoppolo as far as defense is not having a chance to pray. I totally get that. Is a very, very valid point. But I think it is equally as valid that this team sucked hard all year.
And they still do. Like, you couldn't put C.J. Beathard back in and they keep winning.
There's no way Beathard wins the last three games in a row.
Zero chance. They might beat Chicago.
Maybe.
Maybe. But they don't beat Houston and they don't beat Tennessee.
339-1140, 1-800-912-1140. Adam, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted a hot take what you said about Garoppolo or the Niners.
Ooh, hot taking the hot,
hot take. Hot taking the hot take.
I love this.
Hot taking you, exactly. Hey, I don't think it was a
sorry, I totally drowned you out with a hot take, Canada. Go, Adam.
That's all right. Hey, I just don't think it was a fleecing at all. I think the Patriots, I mean, they're sticking with Brady, so they're assuming he's going to probably play for two or three more seasons. With Garoppolo being he's not even a restricted free agent next year, is he? I think he's a free agent.
Yeah, he's a yes.
Sure.
So there's no way. I mean, someone's going to offer him top dollars.
Right.
So the Patriots would have to pay him. Either they did. Can they franchise him? Could they have?
Yes.
So I mean, the Patriots have never done anything like that monetarily. I mean, they're always, you know, they play smart and frugal with their money for the most part, based on a lot of their other signings.
Right.
There's no way they would pay max for a backup quarterback for two or three more seasons potentially, with the hope that he, you know, and then they'll still never know what he's going to be like because he's on the bench behind Brady. So, you know, I think it was a decent trade considering that they could most likely, and I don't think Garoppolo would sign with them. He wants to start, so he probably wouldn't sign with them unless they offered him an insane amount of money, and the Patriots just wouldn't do that, assuming Brady's going to play for two or three more seasons. So I think that a high second round pick was fair. Honestly.
I think you bring up a good point. I think the question some people are going to bring up in their heads is, well, okay, but look at what the Packers did with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers carried a clipboard for 3 years behind Brett Favre. For 3 years behind Brett Favre.
Garoppolo's in year three.
Exactly. Is he in year three or year four?
Year three. Came in the same class as Carr.
So, yeah.
But I get what Adam's saying, because he was going to walk in free agency anyways because they weren't going to franchise their backup quarterback.
Well, hold on, am I stupid here? I'm looking at his stats because I thought that he's in his fourth year. 2014, 15.
Oh,
16,
I'm sorry.
17.
Carr is in his fourth year as well.
You're talking about
that's
Derek Carr, exactly.
Yes. So okay, Garoppolo, that's right. Yeah.
So you're asking Garoppolo. My point is, you know, Rodgers had 3 years behind Favre, and then he got the job.
Yeah.
Garoppolo's already in his fourth year, so you're asking him to what, be a minimum of 5 to 6 years?
Right. So there was talk before this last draft. Like, as soon as Garoppolo got a couple starts while Brady was out during Deflategate and played well, there was talk of, wow, they should trade him.
Sure.
They can get a first rounder for him. And that was leading into this draft. That was one of the options teams were talking about as a quarterback option is, okay, do you part with a first rounder and what else for Jimmy Garoppolo? Is it worth that? A first rounder this year, a first rounder next? That was where the talk was headed. And if the Patriots played this right, they could have gotten somebody into a bidding war. The Browns reportedly wanted Garoppolo.
Sure.
They could have gotten a bidding war with the Niners and Browns and wound up with a first rounder and multiple seconds. And
well, that was part of the luck of the Niners, is that we've read and talked about the fact that it makes sense that Belichick just didn't want to deal with the Browns.
Right.
For a lot of reasons, including his old ties to the Browns.
Right.
Didn't want to deal with them.
So that's my point. Is there could have been deals out there for the Pats that could have gotten them.
Matt Castle also probably screwed things up a little bit too, and Jacoby Brissett, et cetera, where you look at when Tom Brady has been hurt over his career, and you've brought in a Castle who went 11-5, or you brought in a Brissett who followed Jimmy Garoppolo after he got injured, and you see these guys just come in, you've got a lot of GMs going, okay, is he a good quarterback? We need to see him outside of the Patriots system, and you have to credit John Lynch for that. You have to credit him for that and seeing through that and taking a shot on Garoppolo and hoping that they didn't just trade for Matt Castle.
And if they did, it was low risk. Let's be real.
It's a second round pick, which is that's a big asset. but it's not the end-all be-all.
If you're going to take a swing for a franchise quarterback, doing it with a second-round pick is much better than doing it with the first or second pick.
Anybody out there right now saying, you know what, I really wish we had Kirk Cousins?
No.
Next year?
No. The Washington's not even saying that.
So here's my question to you, since we're going to entertain Silly Niner fan today.
Oh, love that.
Silly Niner fan question. If the San Francisco 49ers had made the trade for Jimmy Garoppolo in July, in June.
9-5. Already looked it up.
So you think...
Go ahead. Keep going with your question.
So you think they make the playoffs this year?
I think. Let's go down there.
A lot of people are going to point to game 2, 12-9 loss. Game 3, 41-39. Game 4, 18-15.
If you flip all their close games, which would have been should have gone the other way with better quarterback play. Okay, so they got smoked by the Panthers. Panthers are a better team than the 49ers. They lose to the Panthers, but they lose to the Seahawks by 3. On a last minute touchdown by the Seahawks.
Yep.
They lose to the Rams by 2. We'll even call that a loss because Brian Hoyer played exceptional in that game. They put up 39 points, couldn't win. So now they're 1-2. They beat the Cardinals. They beat the Colts. 2 3-point overtime losses that could have been determined with better quarterback play. They lose by 2 to Washington. Let's call that a W because Beathard came in and moved the football. That was the game that Brian Hoyer went out. They benched him.
Yeah.
They got blown out by the Cowboys. Dallas is a better team. Blown out by the Eagles. Called a loss. But then I think they beat the Cardinals again in San Francisco.
Okay.
Beathard was terrible in that game. They beat the Giants. Let's call it a loss to the Seahawks in the second game. 24-13, let's call that an L. And then they have their 3 wins without him. Or with Garoppolo.
So you're saying they'd be 9-5 right now?
Yeah. I think that's right. I think I have that math right.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now you're also there's a lot of factors there too. That's why this is fun fantasy.
This is silly. This
Garoppolo could have been hurt by now. We don't know if other receivers. Maybe Pierre Garçon's not injured.
Maybe he doesn't come in week one and play well.
Right.
There are a million things. But if quarterback play is if all things remain the same and Garoppolo is playing at this level, the Niners are like a 9-win team.
All right. So here's the.
Which is more an exercise of looking at where the Niners are in their rebuild.
Sure.
Now that they have a good quarterback and how important that position is in the NFL. And it's why the Raiders aren't screwed, because they still have a quarterback who can play.
So here's your question. You have an opportunity, Raider fan, you have an opportunity to trade rosters straight across with the 49ers. And with that comes cap position and draft assets. That's very important. And coaching staff. The whole thing. Raider fan.
Oh, you get coaching staff too? That's not fair.
Everything.
That's not fair.
Raider fan has the opportunity to bring coaching staff, roster, draft assets, and cap position over, and vice versa. Niner fan can take all the same, and you trade it straight across, and you're getting Derek Carr, and you're getting Khalil Mack, and the rest of the Raider roster. And by the way, their draft position and their cap position. I wonder who would be more likely to make that trade. Now, this was a silly, silly conversation 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
It's a borderline silly conversation right now. And you're dealing with a lot of fired up Niner fans that had a lot to get fired up before who are annoyed.
This roster is still really bad.
Sure it is. But you have a lot of draft assets and you got a lot of money to spend.
And a lot of that cap space, when people go, the Niners are going to have 100 million, 20 plus mil of that, 20, 25 mil of that's going to Garoppolo, right?
Sure. But now you have draft assets. I think that the third most draft assets in this class, if I read that correctly a while back. And you've got $75 million to spend on receivers and offensive line. I mean, you've been investing in defense for a while. And now all of a sudden it's an interesting question. I have a feeling, I could be wrong. I have a feeling, Kyle, if we polled nothing but Niner fans right now, I have a feeling that 80-90% of all Niner fans would not make that trade. They'd want to stick with their team.
Too.
And I have a feeling if we polled nothing but Raider fans, I have a feeling 80 to 90% of all Raider fans would want to stick with their team.
Yeah,
I think it would be down party lines.
I would not trade that solely because of the coaching staff. You give me the Raiders roster with the Niners coaching staff, I think you're looking at a very good team. You had Derek Carr and Kyle Shanahan's offense with Coop and Crabtree.
Oh, you! Oh, breaking news. Okay.
Yeah.
Nope, that's a dramatic squirrel. Nope, that's not it either. Nope,
perfect.
Nope. Hold on.
Brady?
Where the hell is Kyle? What'd you do with my breaking news? Oh, here.
Doing it. Is. Okay. News coming down right now on the tweets.
Uh oh.
ESPN president John Skipper has resigned.
Oh. Did they say why?
Not yet. I'm refreshing madly until I find out.
But, can I tell you? I think I know why, and I'm not. I'll write it down. I'm not going to say it because it'd be very irresponsible.
Because ESPN is failing pretty badly and failing to adjust to the new media climate, and
sure.
He knows that. So they're
sure.
Pushing him out because they want to get somebody a better, innovative thinker in there.
There you go.
Somebody whose name rhymes with Will Women's.
No. No. No.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Let's just say one of the most irresponsible things you could do on sports talk radio. So hey,
is
to, like, if you were to, in this climate that we have right now, if you were to have a pool based on people that are next to go down. I'm not saying nothing. I'm just saying I don't know that guy wouldn't have been in the pool pretty strong. I'm very curious to see as to why he's stepping down.
Yeah.
Because you hear,
I think everybody
is. You hear a lot of things. Hey, not for nothing, but can we get the Down in the Valley show now? Now that Skipper's gone?
Can we
That's all I care about.
Quick request.
That's all I care about, ESPN. Can we get? That's why you guys are sucking. If you took a graph on ESPN's success and when it started to go downhill, and you timed that right to the day they decided to not show Down in the Valley, I'll bet you they're exact.
Hey, want to hear our promo?
I do want to hear our promo. I'm very happy about this. I've been begging for a promo. The Lowdown, they have a great promo.
They have a bunch of great promos.
Yeah, they have a ton of great promos. And to me, that's the success of a show is the promos.
Right.
I think I've heard one where I'm like, be objective. And that's nobody's fault. I'm not calling anybody out, by the way. That's our responsibility.
And I think that probably got put in there because that's the only thing I'd sent over.
Right.
So I'm doing better at that.
All right, let's grade this promo here. The new
Like it or
promo.
Spike it.
Like it or spike it. Go ahead. I'm very, very happy with that.
Yeah. I think it perfectly encapsulates this show because it starts off with conspiracy theories.
It ends with
LeVar Ball.
It ends with a LeVar Ball conspiracy theory.
Perfect.
He's exiling his kids to Lithuania. Oh, boy. I'm very tough to please. I'm very happy with that. Whoever did that, you and Jason and whoever else did that, that's fine work. All right,
John Skipper resigns, citing substance addiction.
That's what I'm getting right now. Here's the quote. By the way, in case you just joined us, ESPN chief John Skipper, who I can't underline this more. Any conversation about most powerful people in sports starts with John Skipper. And then everyone else is compared to him. I'm talking about Roger Goodell, Jerry Jones, Adam Silver. John Skipper is an untouchable. This may not matter to you, and it's not going to change the first down call from yesterday's Raider game. I get that. This is something that will send shockwaves throughout the sports world.
Yeah.
And we got a break here. He says, quote, I have struggled for many years with a substance addiction. I've decided that the most important thing I can do right now is to take care of my problem. And he goes on and on to talk about more things we don't have time to talk about, but we'll get on a little bit of that next. In addition to that, I want to ask you a question. In addition to Reggie Bush retiring, after the Chiefs and Chargers game yesterday, a couple of players were seen afterwards getting advice. One player was giving another player on the opposite team advice on literally doing drills on the field. I'm not sure if that's okay or not. We'll explore that next, right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. That entire break, my phone has been smoking. not
ESPN hitting you up to be their new president.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. How'd you know, Kyle? I have a couple of friends that work fairly deep in the ESPN group. And to say that this is an absolute bombshell is an understatement. John Skipper, president of ESPN, has resigned his position. Citing substance abuse problems. Now, there is a lot that's going to come out. This story is far from over. And if you're wondering, why do I care? Why does this affect me? Well, because John Skipper has basically shaped the sports landscape when it comes to broadcasting. He's the one that secured all the rights to everything.
Yes.
He's the one that has continued to strike multi-year deals with distributors. He was one of the pioneers in striking a deal with things like PlayStation View, which is changing how people view, no pun intended, sports and broadcasts in general. But here's where there's a couple of things right off the top of my head that are very interesting. Number one, they just negotiated a multi-year deal with John Skipper. I want to say last year. It was last, I think it might have been last month, which is extremely interesting. On top of this, and this could just be a coincidence, by the way, but we went into the weekend noting that Disney had just acquired Fox's TV distribution and movie. Not the news stuff, but the movie distribution and also the regional sports networks. And to think that John Skipper wasn't involved, listen, that was a, what's his face, the head of Disney. Obviously, he's in charge of that big time. And Disney is such a massive, massive conglomerate that, even a guy like John Skipper can get lost. But this is something that is going to shake up the media world. And I got to be honest, I don't think Bob Iger was the name I was looking for at Disney. I don't think this is over. You're going to see this all over Twitter, and I could be wrong, and if I am, I'll apologize, but I expect that there's going to be a lot more to this story. A lot more to this story. But to say that a sports titan has fallen is a massive understatement. If you did a Mount Rushmore of most powerful people in sports today, John Skipper's on that Mount Rushmore. He absolutely is.
Yeah, it's a huge deal.
So that is a huge deal. This is arguably, as far as you're concerned, I'm talking about the listener, the sports fan, this is a bigger deal than if we were breaking news that Roger Goodell or Adam Silver had retired or quit or whatever. It's not as sexy, no pun intended. It's not as it's not going to get that same type of play. But I would tell you right now, John Skipper, at least last week, was more powerful than Roger Goodell when it came to the world of sports.
Yep.
That's extremely interesting. We talked about, let me get to the text line here because I love texts like these. From the 530, love how you're making this into an NFL issue. Why aren't you talking about the missed kick or Derek Carr missing wide open receivers or not even showing up until the second half? Home of the homers, KCK. Those are my favorite texts because that tells me we're doing our job. Home of the homers. Niner fan and Niner fan.
Yes.
Couple of Niner fans here.
Yep. The Raiders have huge issues. We've said it since, what, week five?
Yeah.
The Raiders have huge problems. Those didn't go away last night.
No.
There is a larger problem in the NFL's officiating standards. And those were on display last night. How much they impacted the game, anybody's guess.
Oh, and we
are things the Raiders could have done to make it so those calls did not decide the game.
And you saw two, and in my argument, three of the worst rule interpretations in the NFL on display in the Raider Cowboy game. And one of them went in favor of the Raiders. You saw the first down using a piece of paper, which was stupid. You saw the fumble out of the end zone touchback, which we both think is stupid. And then the Michael Crabtree call, which actually went for the Raiders, but I don't like I don't like spot of the foul pass interference calls. I fully believe they should go to 15-yard automatic first down calls. I don't like seeing 54-yard penalties. Unless, of course, they're on a run back where there was a hold. Stuff like that. That's all stupid. It's not just the NFL. There's bad rules all over the place. Grant brought it up over the weekend on his Twitter. It's one of my favorite rules that should be changed in the NBA, which is if you go to overtime and your team has not and a player has not fouled out, you should get another foul. If I've got five fouls and the game goes to overtime, I should be able to foul out with seven. If I've already fouled out, I'm done. I'm gone. If I fouled out in regulation, I'm disqualified for the game and for overtime. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hey, Scott, go ahead. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. There were two rules yesterday that everyone's going to be talking about all week long. One of them is a horrible rule that absolutely needs to be changed and has no point to it. The other one is actually a good rule that has some very bad consequences sometimes. The rule that absolutely needs to be changed is fumbling out of the back of the end zone. It makes no sense that that's a turnover in any way, shape, or form.
Agreed.
You don't discipline. There shouldn't be consequences like that for the player trying for like what Derek Carr did. And a turnover when the other team doesn't even touch the ball going out of bounds, it just doesn't make any sense. The second rule, however, is a good rule. Controlling the ball on the way to the ground and surviving the ground, it's a good rule with bad consequences sometimes. If you say that ball yesterday was a catch, then how many other clearly non-catches we saw this year where the ball gets knocked out by the ground and rolls away from the receiver that you have to say are now catches? This sort of it's kind of a casualty of a good rule. You can't change it. It was to the letter of the law, and a catch should mean that you've controlled the ball all the way to the ground and kept it.
Scott, you're talking about the Jesse James catch in the Pittsburgh game, I assume. So do you allow for a difference? I think this is where the question is. If I'm a running back and I leap over the pile, and while I'm in the air, I stretch my arm out and I cross the goal line, it's a touchdown regardless of what happens between there and the ground. Do you allow for the fact that it's a goal line situation, and if the receiver has possession of the ball when he crosses the goal line, it's a touchdown regardless, again, same thing with the running back, as to what happens when he hits the ground or no?
I disagree for two reasons. Because, one, if he'd have caught it in the end zone and that same thing would have happened, it still would have been an incomplete because he didn't maintain possession all the way to the ground. But the second reason I disagree is as soon as you start to have any gray area in these rules, as soon as you would let the official's discretion come into play when it comes to that, then you're opening yourself up to really widespread criticism and probably some consequences for those officials that the NFL can't open themselves up to. So you have to have it black and white. The ball moved as it hit the ground and is therefore incomplete. That sucks because you and I and everyone else who has ever played football says that's a catch and it's a touchdown, and he got penalized for trying to make a play. But in that case, it sucks. But how about all the other incomplete passes that you would have had to overturn this season? I just think you have to be black and white, and it's an unfortunate result of a good rule, whereas the other one is just a bad rule that needs to change.
I think it's a good call, Scott. Thank you. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Scott brings up some good points. Here's the playing question. Couple of things there. Number one, anytime I get a chance to hear Bill Hillgrove, the Pittsburgh Steelers broadcast, I am a huge fan of that. Secondly, that's a tough call, and that's a call that could have massive, massive – screw the Raider calls from yesterday. That's between two teams that likely won't make the playoffs. That call could have massive implications on the AFC postseason. Mike, you're on the drive.
Hey, Jay, Dave. Hey, I'm a Raider fan. Last night officiating was just horrible. Now – to put a card in front of the sticks to say that it was a first down or not, that's ridiculous. What century are we in? Why can't we put some centers on the ball? Something that can, once that, you know, when we go to a store and we go shoplift something and we go walk through that center, doesn't it go beep, 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 beep? Why can't they have that on the light, you know, like the guys that holding the flag, something there that says, hey, the ball just passed, first down. It makes no sense. It's ridiculous. And another thing, too, is I'm still confused with the Derek Carr fumble forward into the end zone. Isn't that like the Holy Roller kind of deal, that if it rolls forward, it's a dead ball? You can't fumble the ball forward? I don't know. It just was really upsetting for me last night. It just is a hard game to watch.
No, appreciate the call. When we get back, we'll get a little bit of reaction out of Jack Del Rio and the rest of the team, who are obviously very upset about those plays and about that call in particular. We'll take a break. When we get back, wrapping up with what's on tap tonight, we got a big Monday night tilt. Not really. Not really at all. But KHDK will have coverage of the Falcons and Bucks 5 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. We're back. Final segment. Don't go away. Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, there's a few things on tap tonight. We'll start in the NFL. Atlanta at 8-5 visits Tampa Bay at 4-9. It's Jameis Winston's last stand. It was interesting seeing Jameis get active on Twitter. He was especially enjoying watching Cam Newton's Panthers win. He's a huge fan of Cam Newton, apparently. At one point, Cam Newton, you could hear him say, oh, you guys have been watching a lot of tape, huh? That's cool. Now watch this.
That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
With the little fake wheel route?
Exactly.
He said, watch this, yelled out an audible to McCaffrey.
Yep.
And then hit a touchdown.
6.5-point favorites are the Falcons. Hey, this just in, Steve Kerr of the Warriors said, quote, about the retirement game tonight, jersey retirement of Kobe Bryant, which he'll get both 8 and 24 retired. We spoke on that earlier. Well, the Warriors are playing the Lakers tonight. Normally, during the half, teams will go into the locker room and review tape of the first half, et cetera, et cetera. He says, quote, just the experience in seeing one of the greatest players in the history of the game getting his jersey retired, and we happen to be there. I'm not going to keep them in the locker room to watch tape of the first half. The players would look at me like I was nuts. There's something interesting going on the floor. Let's go out there. So the Warriors tonight, who will probably have a 20-point lead at the half anyways.
Not at Staples. They can't play there.
They're going to be hanging out watching the retirement ceremony. That's kind of cool. Although I still don't think you need to have two jerseys retired. But hey, tis what it is.
Maybe also retire the last name Bryant. Like if your name is Bryant, you're now Jones.
You gotta change it. I mean, great, just retire names and nicknames. The biggest story you're going to be following all day today, no doubt, is John Skipper, the president of ESPN. He has resigned, citing addiction issues.
And if you're not following it yet, you will, because this is going to be a huge story.
George Bodenheimer takes over as acting chairman. I can tell you I've now had two breaks to speak to ESPN employees, friends of mine.
Who all right, we get are, it.
That is not name drop somebody who works for ESPN. I didn't say it was like Dan Patrick. You wouldn't know who they were.
He doesn't work for ESPN.
That's a good point. I didn't say it was Bob Lee.
Great point. You didn't. George, yeah, but it's Bob Lee.
But it is Bob Lee. Sorry. So Bob Iger, the president of Disney, will search for a replacement. Boy, how do you replace John Skipper? My goodness gracious, that's a that is a lot of replacing right there. A couple of things. Here's Earl Thomas of the Seahawks on Bobby Wagner, who played through an injury. So Earl Thomas didn't think Bobby Wagner should have played with a bad hamstring, saying, quote, the backups would have done just as good. Bobby Wagner went on Twitter, where Twitter is forever, and said, quote, I'm assuming E is an Earl. Keep my name out your mouth. Stop being jealous of other people's success. I still hope you keep balling, bro. He immediately deleted it, but not in time. That's exactly where you want post-game blowout chatter happening, is on Twitter.
The Seahawks are the worst losers ever.
They are, and I love it. I love it so much. I hate that stupid team.
Same.
I hate that stupid team, and I love that there was a media member, a TV guy, I think, up in Seattle that put out a video. His office is just above CenturyLink Stadium, and he put out a video in the third quarter of a mass of Seahawk fans, like half the stadium walking out.
Hey, 12s? Yeah, 12s?
Yeah, fly that flag now,
yeah.
You pack a bandwagon.
Remember when Cam Newton beat them? And then he grabbed the 12 flag and threw it.
Yes.
Somebody handed it to him.
Yes.
And all these Seahawks fans are like, you don't disrespect the 12.
Low class.
Like, shut up.
Low class Cam Newton. I loved it. By the way, in today's edition of You Should Know Trae Young, here's this. Sorry. First off, I thought the call was kind of funny the way he did that. And secondly, if you don't know Trae Young, we've been telling you now, get to know Trae Young. You saw his Oklahoma team going to Wichita State and throttle the and shock the Shockers, who are the number three team in the country. I predict that the Sacramento Kings are going to have here's the way things are going to work out, Kyle. Let's just remember this come June. The Sacramento Kings are going to have the opportunity to take Trae Young, but they're already going to have that position filled, and that's going to be a big deal. Trae Young is going to be available, and he's going to be the guy that should be picked at whatever spot the Kings are picking. And they're going to have to decide whether or not they want to draft best player available or draft for position. And this kid, Trae Young, is not perfect, and he does have some issues, especially on defense. But the fact that he's being compared to a college version of Steph Curry, I understand why these comparisons are happening. I don't like anointing kids, you know, with two-time MVP type of dudes. That's a lot of pressure. But dude, this kid is something else. Here's Bill Belichick being controversial. Slow down, Bill. Jeez. Just giving everybody bulletin board material. Just calm down, Bill. Maybe we get some controversy out of him on the overturned Jesse James play. The catch that was not a catch. What do you think, Bill? Jack Del Rio spoke about the 3x5 card or whatever the hell that piece of paper was measurement. How obvious was it, Jack? Is it just me or does Jack Del Rio kind of sound like Sean Salisbury? Is that just me picking that up?
No, he does a little bit for sure.
I think he does. Here's one more. Here he is on Derek Carr's fumble out of the end zone. That's all I'm going to hear now from now on. All I'm going to hear is that Jack Del Rio sounds like Sean Salisbury's brother. Sean offered to come on twice this week. Maybe we should take him up on it because he missed last week.
Heck yeah.
What do you want me to do here, Kyle? It turns out we have not one but two surprise giveaways. How do you want me to handle it to make your life easier?
Doing tomorrow.
First off, we'll take the 11th caller at 339-1140. I got tickets for the Kings for you. It's not just against anybody. How about the San Antonio Spurs December 23rd? We'll take the 11th caller at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And then, hey, just because 11 plus 1 equals 12, let's do that. In honor of the 12th man from the Seattle Seahawks. I was rumbling, bubbling, and stumbling away from that stadium as fast as they could go. I got a pair of free floats from True Rest Float Spa for you for the 12th caller. More info at KHDK.com.
So 11th and then 12th?
That is correct. 11th is Kings. 12th is True Rest Float Spa. I'll come in and help you with the phones. For Kyle Madsen and the rest of you, thanks so much for putting up with my extra nasally voice today. Hopefully the cold goes away by tomorrow. Jim Rome is next, followed by the Lowdown. We got you covered all day long right here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Bye-bye now.